Hello, everybody. Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by The Garden Grocery, your online grocery store. For all your Disney grocery needs, they will deliver to any of the fine Disney resorts. Contact Garden Grocer at thegardengrocer.com. Show is also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay in a deluxe resort at reduced prices, contact David's at dvcbyrequest.com. Show is also being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area for any of their Orlando attraction, contact Elite at elitevacationhomes.com. And you can find all of our fine sponsors on our website at It's All In WDW. So come on, guys, let's hop on the train, head over to the pub, and we'll talk to you soon.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, now by my good buddy, John. Hey, John, how you doing?
Jumbo! Mr. Doug, how are you?
I'm doing well. Dennis's stool, as you guys can hear, is still empty. Dennis should be back soon, hopefully. But the show must go on, right, Johnny?
That's part of business, you know. It's show business. We got to carry on, even though we miss him. But he'll be back soon enough, so.
So when football's getting ready to start soon too, John, our college team started today. I had a big win. You had a big loss.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty. The Gators basically pooped on themselves out there against Michigan today. Thank God for the defense and a couple of touchdowns, or it would have been horribly embarrassing. So yeah, it was bad enough anyway, but. Yeah, Penn State pretty much ran over their team, so good for you. So.
Yeah, my Nittany Lions are I'm happy for them. I've rooted for the Lions since I've been, 5 years old. They used to have a show when I was a kid. It used to be my grandpa's. It used to be called the Lions Den, and they do the replays. And back then, they had Kajana Carter and, you know what I'm saying, all the greats, Todd Blackledge. You know, I've been a Penn State fan since I've been a little kid, and after all the hard times and all that crazy stuff that went on, it's nice to see them back to where they should be.
Yep. Back as a potential in the Big Ten, so back in there. So
yeah, the Big Ten's going to be tough this year with Michigan to beat you today, and Ohio State's no joke, and Wisconsin's in the top 10, so it's going to be a fun year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as much as it hurt me to see Jim Harbaugh run over the Gators today, I'm so excited to see Jim Harbaugh and Urban Meyer meet up every year. So that Michigan Ohio State game every year is definitely going to be a good one. So.
Well, my Lions they were the Big Ten champion last year. So.
Well, there you go.
So hopefully they'll repeat. I mean, with that kid Barkley, our running back, he might be the first running back Heisman Trophy winner in a few years, which would be very nice.
You never
nice.
Know.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see. But anyway, everybody is tuned in to talk Disney with us. We have friends now roaming down around at Food and Wine. You're going to head over tomorrow. We recorded on Saturday night tonight because John has to work on Sunday. So if you guys want to go visit him at the train tomorrow, well, I'll be releasing this show tomorrow. But hopefully some of our friends pop over and see you tomorrow over on your choo-choo train.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I'm looking forward to seeing Bob at least come by. So hopefully Bob and Mary get by and say hey to me. So.
Well, that would be nice. And they've been down there and they've been giving their flash reports. Have you been following along with all the different food that Bob has reviewed so far from the Food and Wine Festival?
Yeah, I saw he was out on Wednesday and he was kind of bummed that they didn't have a soft opening this year at all. So he was out there and. But he actually, you know what he did? He went over to Tangerine Cafe and tried my shawarma platter. So I was happy about that. So he got over there and tried that and really enjoyed it. So at least he took one of my recommendations and tried the shawarma platter. But yeah, I've been following along and it looks like he's tried quite a bit. And I think for the most part, he's had a couple of highlights. He's had a couple of mediocre, but it looks like he's enjoying a lot of the stuff that he's tried so far. So
yeah, there's been more hits than misses, I would say,
yeah,
so far
so.
At this year's Food and Wine. And he's been in some of the old ones that he was didn't have a, how could I say it? Some of the different dishes that he didn't like in years past surprised him. Like, they were a little lacking in years past to surprise him this year. And some of the old standbys, like the Kalua pork slider, he's going to give it another shot, he said, but he wasn't too happy with that this year.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think me and you both, before the show, we already commented on it. I mean, looking at the picture, it looks like it has shrunk. So that's not surprising. I mean, it has traditionally been one of the best values. So to see it go down again, get smaller every year is not surprising, to get to a better price point for Disney to make a little more money on it. But I was gonna say, he did say the pork was still good. It was just the bun was not as tasty as it has been in years past. So.
Yeah, he said it's off a little bit, but the festival just started this week, so a lot of these dishes do improve as the festival goes on.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Even though they do it every year, you know how it is. It's just like when I used to play sports. You need that. That's why football teams have training camp. They need a few days to hit their rhythm and get their stride and get back into the flow of things to do the mass production that they do on these entrees.
You know what they really should do, I think, is have a cast member preview the weekend before, where we are allowed to walk by and try 10 to 15 items for free, just to then give them feedback on, and, you know, criticism on what is good and what's not. That's what I think.
You should do. So, I mean, you definitely take one for the team, wouldn't you, John?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I'd be willing to do it for free. So.
Yeah, I bet you would. Hopefully you could bring a guest. We'll drive on down. One of the highlights this year of the festival has been something that he wasn't even going to try, and that's why you try different things. The roasted pork wings with Korean barbecue sauce, flavors from fire.
Yeah, it looks like his wife. I mean, I think Bob had some nice things to say about it, but it looks like his wife said it was the best of the festival, bar none. So.
Yeah, his exact words were, "We cheated, folks." Not on my pre-festival menu. I just knew Mrs. All in WDW would love these wings. She did, and I quote, "Best thing in the festival, huge portion. Don't care if I ever have another chicken wing again. Just give me these." And know what I did as soon as I read that post? I sent them over the recipe for our wings, John.
I was going to say, okay, well, let's not get carried away, because it's hard to beat those chicken wings.
Well, you're going to try these tomorrow, right?
Oh, yeah. I think if I had it out there tomorrow, right now in my mind, I've got scotch eggs and those sticky pork wings as the two items I'm going to grab before I head home. So.
Well, speaking of the scotch eggs, he really did like them. He said they were very flavorful. The other thing was, the flash report was the lamb meatball from New Zealand. He liked that again. He goes, "There you are, my beloved meatball. The meatball itself, as usual, was perfect. The bread bowl was good. But having said that, I felt the chutney, like last year, delivered a bit too much sweetness, spice it up New Zealand." So he liked his meatball, but he would have liked it a little bit spicier.
Yeah, it sounds like the chutney's not quite got enough seasoning. But again, that's probably just the opening weekend getting the seasonings all down set. You know what I'm saying? So.
This is one I'm sad that I'm not going to be there to try, is the lump crab cake with Napa cabbage slaw, Coastal Eats. Did I ever mention that I love, love, love crab cakes? Coastal slaw was mad, but that didn't matter. A nice-sized patty. This cake was fantastic. It lived up to lofty expectations, folks. Try it. So, I mean, that's one you should try too, John.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Any seafood, I'm going to give a shot. So the crab cake and the scallops are definitely on my list when I get back out there. So.
No, he tried so many things. I don't want to cover them all, because you should head over to our website, It's All in WDW, and read everything that Bob has put out. He's done a fantastic job. I mean, he's had the scallops. One of the things he did love was the bangers and mash. So he said they were really, really good. He said it was absolutely delicious. He liked Rose and Crowns better, but he said this was a close second. So, and he liked one seared scallops, didn't like the others. So you got to head over and read which ones he did like and he didn't. So, and he's had probably 15, 16 items or more so far.
Yeah, it looks like he's really got a good sampling done so far. So I'm sure he probably hit a couple more today that he hasn't posted, and he's probably going to grab a couple more tomorrow. So,
I mean, nothing he said was, like, horrible. Like, I know you want to the grilled tuna tataki in Hawaii. He wasn't the biggest fan of that, but you're going to go try that anyway, right?
Yeah, I love seared tuna. So a lot of times that tuna depends on the cut of the actual fish. You know, I mean, depending on the quality of the actual fish that's getting seared at the time. So I'm hoping I get a good piece. So,
I mean, he said if you're a fan of this, you should try it. It was tasty, but he liked other things better at the festival. So, and he liked he said when I pre-ranked Morocco's spicy hummus fries, I commented that I have underestimated them with my final ranking in 2016. Short story, they're pretty good, but I didn't underrank them last year. Oh, I'd have them again. I just wouldn't go out of my way to find them. I would go out of my way to find them because I really enjoy them. And know what I enjoy them with, John? You had them with me last year, but you only had the one. What I liked about them is nice cold beer with them is a nice little snack. There's certain things that go good with just chilling, and they're one of them.
Oh, absolutely. I think, well, any fried food with beer is probably a good combination. So, but yeah, those hummus fries were pretty tasty. So, once you had them the way that you recommended eating them, you know, mixing the stuff together. I think if you just ate them plain, I think they were a little bland. But once you got them mixed all in with the condiments that came with it, they were pretty tasty.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The slaw that's with it. Yeah, that's what I said to Dennis, and that's why I was so pissed when Dennis had him last year when we were with Carmen and Brian, because Carmen and Brian recorded, and he didn't like them. And then they stopped recording, and then he ate them the way you should with putting the slaw on them. And he's like, man, these are good. I'm like, well, now you made me look stupid.
Yeah, he did that on purpose.
No, he didn't. I wouldn't have been as upset if he did it on purpose, because he was actually didn't like them. They weren't like by themselves, like you said, they aren't pop off the plate exciting. But when you add that slaw with it, it totally changes the whole meal. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. It gave it its proper
flavor.
Enough flavoring to really pop it up. So,
to me, it's like having mashed potatoes without butter or gravy. They're good, but there's no. Am I wrong? What do you put on your mashed potatoes? A little butter, a little gravy. Which one?
Absolutely. Or if I'm eating a baked potato, I put everything under the sun on it. So
exactly. But the potato's good. You can eat it. I can eat a plain baked potato, but when you add a butter, nice butter or garlic butter to it, oh my God, it totally changes it. So that's how you got to have them, guys. You got to equally eat the slaw and the hummus fry at the same time. You got to eat the equal portions of each, and you'll really enjoy them.
Yeah, I think there's some dishes out there that if you're not a big fan of the accompaniment that comes with it, you can get away with it. Like maybe that crab cake. I don't think you have to eat the slaw with the crab cake to really enjoy it. But then these hummus fries, that's one that you really need to try with the entire dish. I mean, the way that the chef prepares it is the way that you should try it. So.
Well, we go to – you ever go to Bonefish Cafe?
Oh, yes.
Do you ever get their crab cakes?
You know, the only thing I've ever had there is the chili and sea bass because it is so friggin' good. So I've had that, and I've had the firecracker shrimp. So.
Oh, the firecracker shrimp is ridiculous.
Yeah.
On that, I eat that every piece of lettuce in that firecracker shrimp. I mean, it's the best salad. I call it firecracker salad because it's my salad. It's my green.
Bonefish, I mean, I know we're doing a Disney podcast, but Bonefish Grill continually amazes me as a chain restaurant that does a phenomenal job for actually a very, very good restaurant.
You don't feel like you're in a chain, do you? You feel like you're an upscale restaurant.
An upscale seafood restaurant. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And I like Red Lobster, but it's a step above Red Lobster. I mean,
without a doubt.
Because I go to Red Lobster, and I like Red Lobster, but it's hit or miss. You'll go there one time, all your food, your biscuits come out, it's piping hot, perfect. Oh, my God, you love it. You'll go there the very next week, everything's cold, everything's nasty. Am I wrong about that? It's hit or miss.
No, That and if I go to Red Lobster, I'm going for usually the like the they're having the shrimp special or something, you know, all
or
you can eat shrimp scampies and all
crabs,
that
crabs, crabs, or lobster fest, yeah. Or one of them.
Yeah, no bonefish. I mean, bonefish I've actually gone to, and I and bonefish is not all that cheap either. It's pretty good price for
it is,
for,
but it's not over the top. It's reasonably priced for what you get, I think.
But we've gotten the, like I said, the chili and sea bass, and it's not like that's a huge portion or anything, but it is so freaking good.
It's always cooked perfect every time you go there.
It's fantastic.
The only thing I ever had that was bad, and it was actually on my last trip there a couple weeks ago, and we got the pot stickers. And have you ever tried that? No, you just told me you never tried them.
Yeah.
Well, I've had them there before, and they were phenomenal. But for some reason, on our last visit there, they were, like, loaded with salt. Because I don't eat a lot of salt. Like, I don't add salt to anything except for corn on the cob and french fries. And it's bare minimum. We're not a big – I when I cook, I'll use it a little bit to cook with. But when I'm done cooking, I don't add any to it, if you follow me. I'm not a big salt fan. And my mother-in-law has high blood pressure. We learn to flavor things with other seasonings and stuff like that. But anyway, these pot stickers were so over the top salty, and it ruined my entire meal. I had to bring all my food home and eat it the next day. That's how bad it was. The taste that it left in my mouth, and I felt bad. My wife at first she goes, "What's wrong?" And I go, "Try one." And she goes, "No." Then she finally tried it, and she goes, "That's not bad." And then it finished. And she's like, "Oh my goodness, what they put a pile of salt in that thing?" And it had my whole. Have you ever eaten anything that you cannot get the flavor out of your mouth no matter what you do?
Yeah, I've had a couple items like that.
And that's exactly what happened. So I had to get my bang back. Because what I did for this meal was I like four or five of their appetizers so much that I ordered the crab cakes, the crab cake appetizer, the bang bang shrimp, and the pot stickers. And a side of mash. That was my entree. I was just in the mood for that stuff. Have you ever done that?
Yeah. Actually, I think that's our plan for Kona Cafe on our trip coming up. We're going to just hit appetizers at Kona Cafe for lunch.
Yeah, so. And that's what we did here. And that's what I was in the mood for. I was in the mood for those. But anyway, I ended up having to wrap everything else and bring it home because I couldn't eat no more. But the only positive thing is, the owner of the place came over and was talking to us, gave me his card if we have any problems. We never had a problem. I'm raving to him how fantastic his restaurant is, right? I mean, we're going on and on and on and on and on. And then I eat these pop stickers. It was like, holy moly. But the waiter came out and he goes, "Why didn't you eat everything?" I said, "I don't want to say anything because we love this place. We're like, we've eaten there. I can't even count how many times. It's like our restaurant around here." And I didn't really want to say anything. I said, "Dude, there's something wrong with them pot stickers." He goes, "What are they, salty?" The waiter did. I said, "Yeah." He goes, "I've had that happen to me before with them." So we took them off my bill. He didn't even charge me for them, which was nice of him. And we took them home. But how I got to this was you got to try the crab cakes. And the sauce, it has a little bit of a heat to it that comes with these crab cakes, John. I think you'll love it. And I've never steered you wrong yet, have I?
Nope. So good for so far. I can't say the same for you, Le Fin de Mon, but, you know, so far you've steered me down the straight and narrow. So.
But you've been good to me too, John. That was fine. I have a couple in my fridge right now for you anyway. But the the point is, try them. Maybe you get the bang bang shrimp and that and the crab cakes and split them with Lisa and your son.
Yeah. Well, my son's not even interested in going to Bonefish. That's me and Lisa. So
well, that's
probably
good,
our anniversary coming up. It'll probably be our dinner. So.
Yeah, me and Brent's probably going to head over there next week. So my brother gave me a gift card for there for my birthday. So.
Oh, my gosh. You got somewhere other than friggin' Disney, did you?
I told you my brother hates me. He's the only one in the family that didn't give me a Disney gift card. He got me the Bonefish, but it was nice. It was nice he did that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm good on the Disney gift cards right now. We're raring and ready to go with them.
Yeah, I think so. It sounds like you're pretty set on that. So.
Yeah, my next thing is to go to Sam's Club, get the gift card for there to pay for Brenda's park ticket. Did you know if you buy one there, you get them for cheaper than what you pay for? Like a $500 gift card is only $480, I think it is.
Yeah, I need to do the math on that sometime and figure out if it's worth, because I can't imagine what else I'm going to buy at Sam's Club. So I don't know if it'd be worth paying a membership to get that, to do that or not. So.
Well, I mean, you probably get, what do you get, water from work?
No, I buy water, but it's fairly cheap locally. So, you have to remember that to get to a Sam's Club, it's about a 50-mile trip.
No, so. Then it probably wouldn't be worth it to you.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't be worth it to you. It might be worth it to you to send me up the money. I'll buy you the gift card and mail it back to you.
Yeah, I might think about that.
That might work for you. So I'd be happy to do it for you, Johnny.
All righty.
But anyway, do you want to get into some news?
Yeah, let's cover some news, see what's going on.
Some of the latest and greatest down at the old Walt Disney World Resort. Did you hear about this? Walt Disney World Presents opened September 8th at Disney Hollywood Studios. Have you been hearing the buzz around the parks?
No, I haven't heard anything about this.
The update of One Man's Dream attraction at Disney Hollywood Studios will open on September 8th, 2017, renamed Walt Disney Presents. Inside, you'll be able to view concept art, ride vehicles, marquettes, and never-before-seen models for Toy Story Land, which you can see being prepared in the picture below, which you guys would have to go to the website, Disney's Parks blog. You can see all this. But it's actually the whole Toy Story Land, John, is going to be in there in a model.
So I'm thinking next weekend I probably need to do a stop by Hollywood Studios on the way home and get some pictures.
Exactly, and then also you'll love to hear this. A portion of Star Wars Galaxy Edge model will also be on display, as well as concept art for the new Mickey Minnie Runaway Railway attraction. For some reason, instead of saying railway, I wanted to say railroad, but Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway attraction. They should have called it railroad.
I agree. Railroads are cool. Yeah, so definitely, I'll definitely have to stop by. And you said September 8th, so that'll be open next weekend. So
absolutely.
Next Sunday night, I'll try to stop by and get some pictures. So.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Like One Man's Dream, Walt Disney Presents will continue to host greetings with characters like Star-Lord and Baby Groot, plus special sneak previews of upcoming Disney films. I am so, so happy they're keeping this.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised that One Man's Dream made it through. I'm super happy, but I still am kind of surprised that it's made it through with all the stuff that's coming to Hollywood Studios, that they're keeping the thing. This needs to be somewhere. I would have actually loved to have seen it maybe still over on Main Street in the Magic Kingdom, but if it can't be there, at least it's somewhere. So I think Hollywood Studios is okay. I'm kind of surprised that maybe they didn't like pull it over to maybe Disney Springs or something.
Well, that's what I said a few months ago. If they decided to get rid of it, put it at the Springs, because I think it would be the ultimate welcome center to greet people, and you don't have to pay to go there, so you get to, I think more people might see it.
Yeah, I think you're right. And then, I mean, what they're doing with the theater right now is just basically a coming attraction. So actually, if you put it down on the west side over there by the movie theater and you had your coming attraction movies, it would fit right in being next to the movie theater. So,
no, I think it would work out great. But anyway, I'm super duper happy that they're keeping it there. And I don't know, but I'll be glad to see the pictures that you take next week. And when me and Brenda get down there, this is one of our favorite things to do. We love walking through there.
Yeah, we do too. Spent a lot of time actually there in the last couple of months because my wife had to get a picture with Moana. So we walked through there to get back to the meet and greet for Moana. And then I wanted Star-Lord and Baby Groot. So I had to walk through there again to look at everything and get a picture with Baby Groot and Star-Lord. So.
Well, I'm a big Moana fan, so I would have liked to have seen Moana.
I've got her and Pocahontas lately, so I'll have to send you the picture. So.
Yeah, Pocahontas is my favorite because me being American Indian, but you know, Moana is a close second now. She's cool. I love that movie. I think I loved it so much, the same way with Big Hero 6. I wasn't expecting to like it as much as I did both of them. Now, have you seen Big Hero 6 yet?
Yeah, saw that several years, or actually, I guess it has been a couple of years ago. And yeah, I saw that and enjoyed that too. Actually, today caught Guardians of the Galaxy Part 2, so finally caught it. Yeah,
How'd you like it?
I liked it a lot. And I love the character, so Baby Groot and Drax and Star Lord, and so.
Well, that's cool. I'm glad. We'll have to do a review on that. We got a movie show coming up, but just trying to get everybody together to do it is what the problem is. So, but I'm going to be anxious to see this movie when I mean to see where we all rank everything when we finally get this done.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a tough one because there are some great movies, so.
Yeah, and like I was saying with Big Hero 6 and Moana, I wasn't expecting much. Not that I didn't know what I expected of them. Not that I wasn't into them, but I wasn't. They weren't like two of the movies that I was dying to see, and they pleasantly surprised me. Now, the one that I couldn't wait to see, that disappointed me, was okay movie, was that Inside Out. I
Yeah,
didn't
that
find
was.
it. By the end of that movie, it was like sadness was driving me insane.
All right, so I've done my homework. Did you do yours? Did you see Princess and the Frog yet?
No, you know what? I tried. We went to
Okay.
Netflix. It wasn't available, so we got to find it. But I am anxious to see that. So
All right.
it's on the to-do list. Trust me, we will see it very soon.
All right, good deal. Now, I mean, that's a true Disney animation movie, so you need to check it out. So.
Yeah, so was Moana, wasn't it?
Yeah, but
Pixar
I think
helped?
Princess and the Frog still had a lot of actually had a lot of
Oh,
hand
hand
drawn
drawn.
stuff
Okay,
in.
so
Yeah,
old
so
school. Okay.
yeah, it's really really pretty. So.
So, well, it's definitely on the list, dude. We will be seeing that very soon. Now, did you hear about this crap coming to your park? Oh,
This crap coming to my park,
yeah.
what crap's coming to my park?
New Ultimate Nights of Adventure VIP tour now available to book at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Did you hear about this?
No, I haven't. So hopefully it's not on the train. So.
No, it's not. But it might be. I hope it keeps you up late. Disney Animal Kingdom is offering a new tour giving easy access to some of Animal Kingdom's most popular attractions and shows. Experiences include the Ultimate Nights of Adventure VIP Tour, Expedition Everest, Kilimanjaro Safari, Avatar Flight of Passage, Navi River Journey, Rivers of Light, and Satui Canteen Sampler Beverage, adult or non-alcoholic available, and popcorn. And a ride on the Wildlife Express, strictly by John.
Staying open just for you,
Yes,
right?
yes. Any friends of the WDW Main Street podcast could get free rides from John. But anyway, no, that's not available. The 4-hour tour is offered Thursday, Saturday, and Sundays. And cost, what do you think it costs, John?
4 hours, 189.
You're such a cheapskate. $265.19
Wow.
cents, including tax per person. Thank you for including tax. That's why it's 19 cents. A 15% discount is available for annual pass holders and Disney Vacation Club members and Disney Visa card hold members. Theme park admission is required but not included. So for the low price of $365, you could get this.
Doug, my prediction right now, this will not last.
Oh, who
I don't
knows?
see many people
Who
spending
knows?
that,
If you
so.
get all the people that argue with me about paying for this stuff, Dave might buy 3 nights of this crap.
I don't know, six attractions in 4 hours, and you're gonna pay almost $300 on top of your theme park ticket. I don't see that.
Basically, what they're saying is Flight of Passage and Navi River are so packed, we'll charge you extra to get on them. Because all these other rides you could do in a day without a fast pass.
Yeah, and I mean, if you were planning your trip out at the 60-day mark, you probably gonna have a decent chance of getting the Fast Pass at least for Flight of Passage, and then go to Navi River Journey in the morning, and you can get this done if you really apply yourself.
And
So.
it's saying reservations are now open and can be booked now for tours beginning on October 1st, 2017. Call WDW 407 WDW Player 939-7529. I mean, really, I mean, this is the stuff that I don't know, and I always get crap for complaining about it. But John, theme park, I mean, I could even see this, like, the, at least with the parties, the admission is not needed. Am I wrong?
No, no. You can go to the parties. You pay, what, $80, $90, $100, and you're going to the party. You don't have to have your day's admission. So this one, you have to be there to begin with. So you paid $100 or so to get into the park for the day, and then you're going to pay $265 on top of that. So
yeah, it's wow. Theme park admission is required and not included. Are you kidding me? So $265 plus what's the Animal Kingdom now? What was it? $119 or $109?
$114 or $119, yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So we're talking rounded off. We'll say $380 and change. Are you kidding me? I mean, it's to the point where why? I mean, anybody who does this, in my opinion, I mean, I don't know. It's just nuts.
Yeah, I just don't see it. I mean, and I mean, I hate to say it, but for there's really only one ride there that is impossible or hard to get onto, and that's Flight of Passage. But I mean, so you're paying $400 to ride Flight of Passage, basically.
And again, I always say family of four. This is a $1,600 event almost.
I don't think so. I mean,
holy moly.
At that point, you would be better off just doing the VIP tour, right? I mean, yeah. You pay, what is that, $250 or something an hour? So, I mean, that makes a lot more sense at that point. So,
I don't know. I don't know how far this is going to go, but all of it leads back to how hard it is to get on those two rides. Do you disagree with me?
No, the lines are still incredibly long, and I don't know. I'm going to check them out tomorrow because it seems like, you know, the kids now should be starting back in school across the entire country, right? I mean, your kids are kids up there starting, what, Tuesday? So after the day after Labor Day. So for the most part, summer vacation is over, so maybe the lines, at least through the week, are going to start going down. So I'll check it on Monday and see what it looks like, what the posted time is for Flight of Passage around 3 or 4 o'clock on Monday. We'll see if it's going down a little bit.
Now, all I know is, like I said, if you're rich, money's no object, then there are certain people that can just do that and just, but really, and this is just me, like, if I hit that $700 million, I know this is how I am because I'm a stubborn SOB when I want to be. Again, I would rather, if I had the money to do it, I would rather take that $1,600 if I had a family of four, or just me and Brenda, take the $800 and just give it to a complete stranger and tell them to have a great trip that I see need it. You understand what I'm saying? Like, why would I pay for all that when my park admission is supposed to pay for that anyway?
Yeah, that one totally boggles the mind. I mean, that much money for... And basically, you're right. It's just Flight of Passage. I mean, that's why somebody would pay that ridiculous amount of money to try to ride Flight of Passage. And it's a great ride, but I don't know if it's $400 worth. So.
Exactly. And my point is also, it's like, why would you do this? I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, I don't know. And everybody thinks I'm nuts, but you basically they're telling you get a free alcoholic beverage and a sampler platter. They're not even telling they're giving you dinner or an entree.
And some popcorn. Yeah, and some popcorn.
I forgot about the popcorn. It's worth it. It's so worth it.
Doug, you know what this probably is? It's probably a tester because guess what's going to happen in a couple of years when Toy Story Land and Star Wars Land opens up and their lines are so long for those rides. And then we'll have to find out ways at Hollywood Studios where we can get people on these rides. So,
I can see me and Brenda just hanging for a year or two at the Springs. well, that's what I said to Pat the other day, and he agreed with me. We were tweeting back and forth or texting. I forget what it was. And he wrote me back. After he got back from his trip, he was saying how phenomenal the Springs was. And I said to Pat, I said, it's cheaper to spend a day at the Springs, and it's a better value to spend a day buying breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the Springs and hanging out than going to the studios right now.
Oh yeah, and you could probably give yourself the price of the admission for the ticket. You could give yourself for spending money for souvenirs or going into the shops and picking out a couple of items. So yeah, if you're going to go to Hollywood Studios and spend $100 to get into the park for the day, well, then take that $100, head over to to Holly or to the Springs and spend it shopping. So.
Well, me and Brenda usually eat. If we stay back in the day when we used to spend the day at the studios, we would go to the Brown Derby for dinner. So you're talking the admission for the park, plus you're talking probably another $150 in spending money for the day.
Right.
I mean, I could go to Springs and spend $350 and probably have more fun than at the studios right now.
$350 at the Springs would probably last you a while. So
exactly.
Unless you went to the Boathouse or SDK or Morimoto's or something. But heck, if you went to Deluxe Burger, Wolfgang Puck's, or any of those other quick services, you could hit those and probably get dinner. So
yeah, we could hit the Paddlefish and snack around the world and still not spend $350. Yeah. Is my point.
Probably right.
I mean, me and Brenda will go there because we do park hoppers, which most people, not everybody does. Which again, that's one thing Disney needs to do, and I'll say it to the day I no longer can say it. But the bottom line is, me and Brenda will go there because we have park hopper. Because I won't go a trip without doing Toy Story. And again, everybody knows I love the queue as much as I love the ride. So I have to do Toy Story. But besides that, there's nothing else in that park besides walking up and down Hollywood Boulevard that I need to do, especially with the Great Movie Ride going now.
Yeah, see, I've got four that I really enjoy.
Well, me and Brenda don't do Tower Terror or Rock and Roller Coaster every time.
Yeah. Yeah, and I do Star Tours, so I mean that's my four. So I hit those, and I'm pretty good for the day. And if I came back at even though I say I'd like to come back at night and see Fantasmic, I don't think we've seen it in probably 5 years now, 4 or 5 years. So.
Yeah, me and Bren will do. Like, I like Rock and Roller Coaster. I like Tower of Terror. Like I've told a million times, Brenda don't like me doing it. Tower of Terror. Because of my back and my neck. Because I do have neck. My neck gets sore all the time from walking on stilts. Because when you're on stilts, your head's back. Imagine, John, tilt your head back and look at your ceiling. That's what I do for 8 hours a day on stilts. Most days. It's not fun.
Yay.
You know, my neck gets sore, so she worries about me on that ride, so I don't do it. I'll do it when, if they do a change and say there's a different ride drop or something, I'll do it just because I want to know what it is. But once you do it, I'm good. I don't need to be shaken and stirred all the time. And Rock and Roller Coaster will do it if the lines aren't crazy, because usually I get the Fast Pass for Toy Story. And you can't get both of them.
Yep.
So that's the logic behind that. But anyway, I don't know. I just think that money is crazy for that tour. Now, Jen and Scott said they did the behind-the-scenes one, the African track. I could see that because that is something different. But to just pay an extra $300 to do rides is insane.
No, the Wild Africa track is totally – I mean, that's something totally unique and different. You get to go behind the scenes of the Kilimanjaro safaris. You get to do the drawbridge over the crocodiles and all that kind of silly stuff. I mean, that sounds like a lot of fun. So, and you get to actually eat lunch on the savannah. So.
Yeah, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime deal where I can go on expedition Everest during the day. Like, why do I need to pay extra money for it?
Yeah, like you said, if you and playing your fast passes out, you can do exactly everything on this tour. So,
dude, in a day's time, I could do every one of those rides except for Flights of Passage, the new stuff. But all the other stuff, I mean, from what I'm seeing, a lot of them people are just they're not waiting that long. Everest, from what I heard a couple weeks ago, was like a 15-20 minute wait because everybody was over at Passage.
It's funny, Animal Kingdom, what I've seen so far, Animal Kingdom is affected more by rain than any other park I've seen. Because I leave generally at 4:30, 5 o'clock. And if we've had a afternoon thunderstorm that's lasted more than 20 minutes, I walk right out past Kilimanjaro Safaris. And if it's a sunny day and there's been no rain showers, that wait for Kilimanjaro Safaris I've seen from 50 minutes up to 90 minutes. But if it rained for more than 20-25 minutes, sometimes it's down to 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, yep, if it rains, people run from Animal Kingdom. So.
No, well, like I said, I'm really looking forward to Flight of Passage, but there is no way I'd pay $300 and some to go on it. Because I know I already have my park ticket bought, but you still have to add that in. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? It's still that cost. Anyway, the 22nd annual Epcot International Food and Wine Festival is now open, featuring 35 marketplaces this year. So, I mean, Bob, like I said, over at our website, it's all in WDW. Bob has all the reviews. And new this year is Thailand, Active Eats, the Almond Orchard, Coastal Eats, Flavors from Fire, and Light Lab. Returning for an encore are India, which was there in 2009, and Spain in 2010. So there's a lot more marketplaces. I love this one with Mickey as a chef with shish kebab and the grill there, and he has corn on the grill. I mean, the topiaries are phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, the topiaries are always nice. So they're not quite as in-depth as the Flower and Garden Festival, but there's still some nice ones at the Food and Wine Festival, too. So
I'm looking at the Hawaiian Pavilion, the little kiosk. I mean, they do a beautiful job on all these kiosks that they put up, and I could just see myself walking up there and get myself a longboard and a Kalua pork slider right now. I'm in my happy place. Instead, I'm home. I'm happy. I'm drinking a Harp as I'm talking to you. What are you having tonight, John?
I got my Hi-Li, the Cigar City Hi-Li. So one of my local favorites.
So you're living large.
Oh, yeah. Man, tell you what, Doug, head over to that Hawaii place. I'll meet you there tomorrow night about 5 o'clock.
I wish, buddy. Now, did you see this photos? Epcot Legacy Showplace opens as part of the Epcot Food and Wine Festival.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's World Showcase. It's following on the Festival of the Arts, the Odyssey is once again showcasing some of the Epcot's history with new exhibits, Epcot 35, which is pretty cool. They have the Epcot 35 with the rings. You know that logo, past, present, future.
Yeah.
Known as Epcot Legacy Showplace, the exhibit is split into two sides, one showcasing the pavilions of World Showcase and the other Future World. Along with some vintage concept art, the exhibits offer some construction photos and concept art of upcoming additions to Epcot. Although nothing that has not been previously released. They wrote you ever read an article and it's like the way it's written, it's like you stumble through it. It's like it isn't a smooth article on this one. The Odyssey continues to also be home to the craft beer marketplace, John, so you don't have to get upset.
Good deal. I'm set.
But some of these photos are pretty cool, John. I'm anxious to hear from you when you head over there.
Yeah, the Passholder magazine that we got in yesterday or the day before, it actually had 35 trivia questions about Epcot. And I took those, and I missed 4 out of 35, so I was rather proud of myself.
Maybe on Tuesday's show you read some of them.
Yep, I'll give you some of the harder ones.
So. Oh, thanks, buddy. Make me look stupid. It ain't that hard.
There's some tough ones in there, so.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't have told everybody. I could have read them to you, and you could have looked like a genius for once in your life.
For once. That would be quickly dispelled. So.
Now, have you heard about this Food and Wine Festival coolest marketplace kiosk, the Light Lab?
The Light Lab.
Yeah, it's one of their. That? It's pretty cool looking. It looks like something from in Spaceship Earth and Future World. It's called Food and Wine Festival coolest marketplace kiosk, the Light Lab. Epcot International Food and Wine Festival, the Light Lab, is brand new for 2017's Epcot Food and Wine Festival and brings some of the spirited concoction to Future World, complete with UV lights and air conditioning. It's pretty wild. Like, all the people working there are, like, in lab coats.
Okay.
You'll find the Light Lab inside the old Segway training room behind Club Cool and Character Spot. And step inside and you'll find cool lighting and cast members dressed in lab coats, just like I said, ready to mix drinks to order. T equals C2, vanilla tonic water and cotton candy, non-alcoholic. RGB, strawberry, kiwi, apple freeze, non-alcoholic. So these don't interest you, John. Blue Spectrum, Blanc de Bleu, Cuvée Mousseux with Baba Pearls, $9. DeSante bottled water, $3. And a Glow Nut, limited time offer, $3. The menu includes both alcoholic and non-alcoholic drinks and is sure to be a hit with the kids who get to see their drinks made with test tubes. That sounds pretty neat. You got to head in there, John, and check it out.
Yeah, I'll check it out. And you know, you were speaking of this stuff, you know what I haven't seen yet this year? The last two or three years, both Flower and Garden Festival and the Food and Wine Festival has had either wine glasses or a lithograph or something like that, that if you were a pass holder and you got your passport like stamped two or three times for coming back to the festival, you got it. I have the wine glasses from last year and the lithographs and stuff from the Food and Wine Festival. I don't know if they're doing it, so I wonder if they stopped that this year.
Well, you're going to have to find that out again tomorrow when you get there.
Yeah, sure will. That'd be disappointing. So.
No, just another thing they're taking from you, John. They can't afford this stuff.
They're not making enough money, Doug.
No. I will say one thing. I do take my hat off to them. I'll take my Mickey ears off to them. I was proud of them. They did give $1 million to Houston and Texas with this horrible Harvey. And our thoughts and prayers, and God bless you guys there in Texas. I feel so horrible for you. I got some friends and family, and I know you do too, John, in Texas. So our hearts go out to everybody in Texas and hope things, you know, improve soon for these people.
Yeah. Some of the pictures and video and stuff coming out are just horrible. Yeah, my sister-in-law and mother-in-law both live in Houston, so fortunately they've been pretty lucky so far, but they're surrounded by flooding, and I think right now their biggest problem is trying to find food because none of the stores have been resupplied yet. So
it's a darn shame. But anyway, and they also did the entire day of giving, which was on all day rent-a-telethon, so they did do a lot for the people in Houston. So God bless you guys, and hopefully things improve, like I said, very sooner than later for all these wonderful people.
Yeah. Nothing but prayers and warm thoughts for everybody in Texas. So
now, speaking of warm thoughts, did you see the picture of our buddy Slinky Dog arriving at Hollywood Studios?
Yep, sure did. It looks happy and set and ready to go, right?
Oh, my goodness. I see. I would have loved that you drove that truck, John, and you could have picked me up and we could have brought Slinky Dog into the studios together.
You know, the thing of it is, I mean, meeting so many cast members and stuff, it's like the people that get these cool jobs like that, they couldn't give a crap. You know what I mean? So, unfortunately, the jobs like that usually end up going to somebody who really has no concern
whatsoever.
That guy whatsoever.
Driving that truck in probably hates the parks.
Yep, exactly.
And it's sad. But it says the first ride vehicle for the upcoming Slinky Dog Dash Coaster has been delivered to Disney Hollywood Studios. Starting to make it all come real. Opening in summer 2018 in the new 11-acre Toy Story Land, the attraction ride vehicle inspired by the character Slinky in the film will send riders dipping, dodging, and dashing around turns and drops. Andy has created the stretch Slinky coils to the max. So I cannot wait to see. And it says check out. There's video online to check out this. So, but I don't know. I'm super duper excited. I know our friends over at the Happiest Vlog on Earth, Jen and Scott, they're more in the Toy Story Land than Star Wars Land like I am. So we'll all be on Slinky Dog, and you'll be at the Force Awakens, John.
You know what? I know Judith and Carmen are with me over in Star Wars Land, so that's fine. So
yeah, well, I don't know about Judith. Carmen, definitely.
I don't know. Judith said she's a Star Wars fan because you asked her something about when you had that ladies' night. You asked her
that's
something
right.
about so.
Judith, I'm buying that night. So you coming over with me to Slinky Dog? I think alcohol will outrule the love of Star Wars if I'm buying the alcohol.
All right.
What do you think on that one, John?
Yeah. You know what? I bet you're going to get better alcohol in Star Wars Land than you would in Toy Story Land. So.
Well, I got a story for you. The free pass holder gifts at the 2017 Epcot Food and Wine Festival. So I got a scoop for you, John, what you get this year.
Boy, that would have been a good segue if I would have brought it up right now, right?
Yeah, well, I wanted to let you hang yourself out there. But I don't really see your light right, though. I don't see wine glasses, so. From August 31st to November 13th, pass holders have the opportunity to receive up to 3 free specialty buttons during the event. New design per each month of this year's festival. Visit the festival center each month to collect them all. So this is a big down drop. As an additional perk, when you make a purchase from the new Future World Marketplace, including Light Labs, Flavors from Fire, Coastal Eats, Active Eats, Earth Eats, the Chocolate Studios, the Cheese Studio, and the Wine and Dine Studio, you can acquire even more unique themed buttons as souvenirs. So if you go over and spend more money, they'll give you extra buttons. The cool thing is
we went from wine glasses to buttons. So,
yeah, Remy's all over the buttons, which I would like the button.
Well, that's cool. That's cool.
I would like Remy button. You know how much Brenda likes Remy, but
I might have to see if I can get you one then. So.
No, we'll see, buddy. I wasn't saying that to get you to, but I appreciate it. But the point is, the wine glass I think was a better gift for you. But Remy looks really cool.
Yeah, I mean it's something. So,
it's something,
you know, like,
free. That
I'm not gonna complain. So it's
no,
something.
But what I can complain about, I'm not complaining, but it's pretty cheesy that they're telling you if you go to the other booths and spend money, you can get extra ones.
Yeah, you're correct. So
the point is, John, if you go try any of these things at the other booths, make sure you ask for your button. Because there's some things you'd probably like at all these booths, so it isn't really that bad, but make sure you don't forget to ask for your free button if you do spend.
Yeah, can you imagine me on, 2 weeks from now, we're going to be staying at the Polynesian for 2 more nights, and I got a couple of dining reservations, and every time I go in anywhere, any place, anything I do, let's see, I've got DVC, I'm an annual pass holder, and I'm a cast member. Discounts? Any, please stack them. So everything I do tomorrow or I'm going to be throwing all 3 cards out there and seeing if I can get some kind of discount. So
and it's sad that a lot of these they aren't giving you anymore, especially like if you pre-order for the online ordering, the mobile app, you don't get it. I just have to mention that's my new Park Hopper deal. I still can't. Anybody that would buy and don't get their discount is nuts after all the stuff that you pay for all these. I mean, you own DVC and annual pass, and you still do mobile ordering. Like, why? Why would you let them not give you your discount?
Yeah. I guess you're paying that 20% for convenience factor, right? So
no, just go to the front of each park at the ticket booth and hand them an extra 100. Because they need it. They need it, man. But anyway, Chef Mickey's is back on to relocating to the convention center, is back on for the end of the year. Chef Mickey's Disney's Contemporary Resort will temporarily be relocating from late November through December. The work was originally planned to take place from July 28th to August 13th, but was canceled.
Okay.
During the kitchen refurbishment, the character dining buffet will relocate to the convention center at Disney's Contemporary Resort. Guests with reservation are being contacted and advised of the relocation. Like, wonder what this is for.
And since they're not going to be able to eat underneath the monorail, it's going to be 50% off, correct?
No, they're charging you more.
No.
You get to see the convention center this time.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure they're charging you more, but I'm guaranteed they're not giving you a discount. But you're right. Isn't the beauty of eating at Chef Mickey's to be in the big foyer area there to watch the monorail come in?
I think there's 2 things about Chef Mickey's. It's 1, meeting the characters, and 2, being that monorail coming through. I mean, that's the big deal. So if you don't get that monorail, I mean, you get the characters, but then it's like every other character meet and greet, you know, or character dining. So, yeah, I can't imagine why you would want to do it. There's better prices other places. So.
Oh, absolutely. And the food is okay. It isn't like it's off the chain, if you follow me. Oh, my God. It's not. If it wasn't in that location, you'd say it's okay. I'd rather eat it. I might as well eat at the River Roost in the food court.
Yeah. Or Boma for breakfast.
Oh, Boma, so. That's off the charts.
Night and day,
that's eating, yeah. Buddy. That's eating. But you know what I'm saying? It isn't like it's the greatest thing. It's just where it is. I mean, the food's not bad. Don't get me wrong, but it's good. I mean, it's not what makes it is the whole atmosphere.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the food is third or fourth on the, but number one's characters, number two is having that monorail come through. I mean, that's the coolest thing in the world is getting to see that monorail every couple of minutes. So.
Yeah, I got my new Disney Port Orleans Riverside hat.
Nice.
Oh, it's beautiful. I love it. My only complaint is the wrapping that they sent it in is I had to put it on top of a bowl because it got squished. And I'm going to call them and say something to them about the packing of it. It got really smashed, the style of the hat. I think I got it fixed now. But you know what I'm saying? I'm a hat connoisseur. I mean, I have bought at least three hats almost every trip I've ever taken to Walt Disney World. Like, that's what I collect is hats. And I don't like my hat smashed, and I also don't like my pages on my magazines bent. So there are two things. Do you know what I'm talking about with a smashed hat?
Yeah. I mean, my work hats I don't care about because
I do because I
wear
have to
them
look
in the.
Good. I have to look good.
Oh, well, see, I work in the rain and everything else, so,
well, so do
I mean,
I.
My work hats they get smushed to crap, but the ones that I wear out to the parks and stuff like that, yeah, I have to keep in a certain style and stuff like that, and I don't want them to get. I don't want that crown to get crushed because it ruins the look of the hat. So.
Exactly, like you know how the top caves in on your head, it's just
yep.
not a good look.
Yep.
And I have certain hats that I bought because I like the style of them, and they look better on the wall or hanging up because I'm getting. They're not up now, but I'm putting new shelves up in the office here in the recording studio. And I'm setting it up to hang them up again because I used to have them hung. And certain ones just look better because we redid the room a while ago. But certain things, they look better hanging than they do on my head. And I got a good-looking head, so it isn't the head that's doing it. It's just the shape of the hat. But you know exactly what I'm talking about with certain hats.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'm a hat guy, too. I wear them all the time, so.
But I got a new Riverside, and it really made me realize how faded the old one was. Because that is my good wearing going. I don't wear it to work yet. And I probably won't because I don't think I could do that to a Riverside hat. But I wore it outside so much because it goes with everything, the color blue that it is, that I had to get a new one. And when I put it next to the old one, it made the old one look sad.
I had a Rose and Crown hat that I wore for a long time. Out to the parks and stuff like that, and then it got cycled down, ended up as my work hat. And my work hats, they get tossed on my dashboard of my truck and they get thrown in the wash because I sweat a lot at work, so you know I have to wash them. And by the time I actually took it with me to Epcot and took a picture next to the brand new Rose and Crown hat, it was night and day. So
now is your Rose and Crown hat burgundy?
Yeah, it was the red one. Yeah, the dark red one.
Burgundy and yellow.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the one my buddy Dennis got me. I still have that, and that isn't as worn because it doesn't go with everything. You know, I gotta look good, dude. It has to match the colors I have on. And you want to really know why? Because my wife will say, "You're not wearing that hat with that shirt. It just don't go." You know, she'll flat out tell me, "You are not wearing that with that shirt. So get it off." And like a little wimp that I am, I get it off and I go grab another one that goes with it.
Yes,
so,
ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
But no, I love my Disney hats, man. And every one of them, I know where I got them and you know what was going on, and I just love collecting my Disney hats.
Yeah, you got a brand new Rose and Crown one too. I've heard.
Yeah, my good buddy gave me. My good buddy Johnny gave me. So my good buddy Dan and my good buddy Johnny gave me one. Now I only need Bob and Pat to give me a Rose and Crown hat. They don't love me as much as you used to do. So they only show their love by giving me a Rose and Crown hat.
There you go.
Did you hear about Disney to retain ownership and develop Flamingo Crossing into a value-oriented retail center along with more hotels? Did you hear about this?
We've heard about this forever. I'm wondering if it's actually going to end up getting done or not.
I just took a drink of my harp, and from what I'm reading, it's going to get done. According to reports from GrowthSpotter.com, Disney will retain ownership of Flamingo Crossing and develop it into a value-oriented retail center. Located on the western edge of the resort, just outside Disney's gateway entrance near Disney's Animal Kingdom and Coronado Resorts. The 10-year-old development is comparable to the size of Disney's Animal Kingdom. So it's a big area.
I know exactly where it is. I've got a couple of different ways that I can go to work now. And one of the ways is off of the turnpike into 429. When you get off of the 429, you get off right there. There's those two new
Hampton Inn Suites and Marriott and Hilton properties.
Yep. Right there. And so I'd be excited to see something built up there, because it's just another convenient place for me to stop on the way home to grab stuff if they're actually going to put some retail places in there. So
now I wonder, and I have to find out. I might call them, the Hilton and the Marriott down there and the Hampton Inn Suites. I might call them, and I wonder if they get the Good Neighbor, like the ones over by Disney Springs. I wonder if they get the same perks.
For what do they get over there? Do they get like the fat or the extra magic hours and stuff, or no?
No, I don't think they get them, but they get the shuttles and stuff like that in and out of the parks. And you know what I'm saying? They are considered on Disney property, so I wonder what perks they do get.
I know they get down to really good prices. We've checked into them a couple of times just because they are so convenient. And they're especially if you're going to Animal Kingdom, they're literally probably a mile away from Animal Kingdom.
But I also think they'd be cool too, because they'd be a lot less traffic getting back to them at the end of the day instead of going out.
Oh, absolutely.
So
you get out by Coronado Springs and it's a zip, zip, zip right there. So
yeah, that's what I was saying, John. I think they might be better than staying on Hotel Plaza Boulevard in some ways, because you're not dealing with all the congestion.
Yeah, you're correct. If you're leaving Hollywood Studios,
usually am, John. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But yeah, any of the parks, but Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios, particularly, there'd be a couple of turns, and if you got back to Coronado Springs, they're about probably a mile from Coronado Springs, right down Western Way, and you run right into them. So, and there's no traffic out that way. It's a lot better than going out towards Disney Springs and Hotel Row. So.
Oh yeah, because Disney Springs at rush hour is like ridiculous. I mean, it's
horrible.
Horrible around there. I mean, it's gotten better with the construction calming down a little bit, but it's still not good. They're still doing work on the roads around there, aren't they?
Yeah, actually, there's more construction now from like the Typhoon Lagoon area back towards that overpass. It's all tore up, and there's new signs for getting to Hollywood Studios off of the interstate. So it's confusing actually to try to get to Hollywood Studios if you're coming off of Disney property. So it would be incredibly easier to get back to these resorts rather than going over to Hotel Row. So I mean, having spent years and years of driving over on Disney Springs and Disney Springs or downtown Disney area, I hate that area. So it's
when it's all said and done, people a lot of people might have to be staying at these hotels with the way prices are going up at Disney hotels.
I've seen the prices get down to around $107 a night.
Not bad. Dude, I've had deals at the B Resort for $110 and $115 a night. Like I told you, they're beautiful inside. And what it's saying is, blah, 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 plans call for 29 retail and restaurant buildings across 45 acres to be developed in three phases. The first of the retail construction is likely to begin in summer of next year, 2018. Also part of the plans are five additional value hotels, including Hampton Inn and Suites, and other Marriott and Hilton properties are also going to come up. So the first two hotels by Marriott at Flamingo Crossing opened in 2019. So there's two Marriott. To support the growth of the area, Disney is also in the process of extending Western Way to Route 545, plans of which can be seen here, blah, blah, blah. So there's quite a bit going to be going on over there. There's going to be added shopping areas and restaurants.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to more than the actual resorts. It'd be the interesting to see what other shops might come out there, and especially extending that road, because that would be a shortcut for me to get home. So.
Nah, well, I don't know what to tell you, John. I mean,
it'd be nice.
Maybe you can go stay there. We should all eventually. We'll all be staying there after all after these prices go up, like I said. But
they'll all be staying off property, right?
Nah, it'll be hard. But I am excited about it to see what restaurants do go. Maybe they'll put a bonefish over there, John.
After we spent 20 minutes talking about bonefish, that'd be nice, right?
We could head over and get some firecracker shrimp. So, I mean, I don't know. Oh, you got any other news, John? Anything? Everybody's waiting for your Animal Kingdom, your latest trivia or your latest little information. Do you have anything this week or not?
Yeah. It was in the magazine that I sent you. I sent you a couple of magazines. And
speaking yours will be out this week, John. It's just been a crazy week. I have yours waiting for you. So.
Okay, cool. But no, there was an article in there, and we actually talked about it during our declamation trap class. Declamation. Doug, do you know what declamation is?
I have no clue. I hang sheetrock.
Disney Animal Kingdom acclamation. So declamation class. We learned that there was a problem in Kenya of the elephants getting into farms and you know, basically running over the entire crop and running everything into the ground. And so the farmers obviously did not like this, and so were maybe not encouraging poachers, but weren't maybe as diligent on poachers and stuff like that, because they didn't want these elephants ruining their crops all the time. Well, one of the vets from one of the scientists from Animal Kingdom actually went to Kenya, studied the problem, and came up with this idea of building beehives into the fences around the crops in Kenya, because there's one animal that elephants are terrified of, and it's not mice, like, you know, that is the common misconception. They can't stand bees because their ears, the interior of their ears, are very sensitive, and when they get stung by a bee, it drives them crazy. And so when they hear that beehive, they go the other direction. And so the scientist had the farmers build beehives into their fences. This kept the bees, the elephants away, because they'd hear the sound of the beehives, and it also helped pollinate the crops of the farmers. So it worked out in a couple of ways for them, and that's a success story from one of the scientists at Animal Kingdom.
That's pretty cool, though. That's pretty cool to know.
Yep.
Well, everybody knows. I told you what was it, last week, that I was working in my garden. I got stung by two bees, so I understand how I got stung twice. Yeah, I got stung twice by one bee, but I understand why the elephants don't want to get their ears messed with from the bees. Yeah, I was working in my front garden, man, and I was on the phone with my buddy Eric. I screamed like a little girl so loud, he's like, he thought he was going to have to call 911, because I'll tell you what, that wasp stung me on my side, John. I felt like I got hit with the paddles from one of the ambulance, bringing me back to life.
You know what? And sometimes if you actually see a wasp or a bee or something coming at you, and you know the sting's coming, it's one thing because you're prepared. But when it comes out of nowhere like that, it really, really hits you. You have no idea it's coming, and then wham! So.
No, I was like I said, I was on my knees in the garden working, and next thing I know, whap! I screamed, oh my goodness, I ripped my shirt off. As I ripped my shirt off, the son of a gun stung me on my elbow. So it got me in the side and my elbow.
You got to love that.
Yeah, I you had to love it. You and Dennis and John, Bob probably loved it. I got stung.
The guy that was on the phone with you probably loved it.
I mean, Pat and Dave, I'm sure Dave had an extra La Fin de Mont to celebrate me getting stung by that bee.
Probably. He toasted you.
Yeah, I got some good news, though. Did you hear that the fountain's coming back to the studios for Muppets in October?
So they're going to fix the... they're going to fix what had become a planter, huh?
Yes.
So that's good.
Jen will be happy because she missed that. But I did too. I it kind of disappointing that it was a planner, don't you think?
Yeah, there's a local company in Sarasota. It's funny, their logo on the side of their trucks is fountains were not intended to be planters. Call us and get your fountain fixed. So
that's that's funny.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of them down that way. And when people get frustrated with the pumps not working anymore, they, instead of getting them fixed, they just throw dirt in them and put a plant in it. So, yeah, it was kind of disappointing to see Disney do the same damn thing. So,
I don't know. I'm just glad it's back because it was sad just seeing that as a planner.
Yeah.
It should work. Now, John, do you ever get the Food and Wine Festival tasting sampler tabs?
Is that the selection one where you get certain amount of selection type things?
Yeah, it's the much-loved tasting sampler tabs are back for 2017 Epcot International Food and Wine Festival, but it may not be as great of a value as it once was. Go figure,
no.
John.
Jeez.
Go figure. Well, the price for 8 tabs last year, and I could be wrong about this, but it wasn't in 50-something last year?
Yep. Sure
okay,
was.
This year, the price for 8 tabs is $69.23, but they're including tax. Thank you, Disney. This makes the tabs worth about $8.66 each, down almost a dollar from last year. If you bought the 2-pack with 16 tabs, there's no discount on buying 2 sets this year. At that price, it is a little harder to find value, but your best bet would be to use the tabs on alcoholic beverages over $8.66 in price. There are a few exclusions on the use of tabs. All beer larger than 6 ounces. Ain't that nice of them? All tasting flights, Dom Perignon champagne, the artist palette of wine and cheese. For what it's worth, you also get a cute Remy pin with the purchase of the tab. Okay, so that makes it worthwhile. So will you be using the tabs at Food and Wine at this year's festival? I wouldn't be.
No, we used them last year because it was right at the price point of the tenderloin filet, the lobster roll and stuff like that. But I think Carmen last year had the best idea. I mean, she used them for the mixed drinks and stuff like that that are traditionally right at $10, $10.75 and stuff like that. And so she got somewhat of a value out of hers. She might still end up getting a value if she really does the math. But for me, the tenderloin filet is going to be less than $8.77, hopefully. That would be the only one that's even close. Everything else that I want to try is going to be a lot less than that. So I don't see it happening.
Last year I got it with the guys because, like, I figured, okay, with me, Jimmy, and Mark, I got 3 filets. You understand? I went quick.
Yep.
So there was things I could use on them to make it worthwhile. But for me now, and I hate that expression too, every time I watch TV, I watch the star or whoever go, for me, and I just hate the way they say that, for me now. But anyway, the thing is with me, it'll be just like getting the dining plan now. So now you buy this tabs, you have to buy the most expensive thing at Food and Wine. And it totally changes the way you're going to go around the park, around the festival.
Yeah, and,
am I wrong?
And if you're just using it for food, I don't even think you could try to get your value out of it whatsoever, because like I said, I think the most expensive is probably going to be the tenderloin filet, and at $8.76, unless you're going to eat a whole bunch of tenderloin filets and they're priced at $9.50, you're not going to make any money whatsoever. So it's definitely not worth it.
It's just like them. I mean, it's like they really can't just give you the bargain. I mean, if you buy that many, I mean, it's making you go out and buy 8 things, if you understand what I'm saying. It's making you shop through the festival instead of just buying 1 or 2 things. I mean, isn't it to their advantage to sell more of them?
You would think. No, the thing that we always do, and we did it last year even when we bought this tab thing, was to you get the gift card put on your wrist for $100, $50, and then they use that. I mean, you don't get a discount or anything like that, but if you don't eat all your food or you don't eat, you know, $100 worth of samples, well, then you got $20, $30, $40, whatever left, and you can use that anywhere on Disney property for anything you want to. Well, so that's a much better idea.
Well, everybody knows me. I go down with gift cards every year, so that it doesn't.
Yep.
This like I said, I bought it last year. We bought it before, but it ain't worth it now. Again, it's just another thing. They can't let you have anything, can they?
They figured out. Oh, people figured out how to take advantage of us. Nope, can't do that. So, yeah, you're right.
I mean, it's like, can't you just have us that have actually do our homework, that are addicted to your product, that keep wanting to come out and go to the festival, that know about these eight things? You felt like you felt like you knew something, and you felt like you were special by getting it in some way. You know how anytime you get a little break like that, you feel good about yourself. And it's like, they will not allow that to happen.
Nope, you can't do that. Nope, you can't do that. So, yeah, I mean, I guess they figured their people were taking advantage. I don't know how, but because you know they were coming out on the high end of it anyway, because out of the, say, 100 people bought it, how many people actually do the math? 2 or 3 that out of 100 people, 2 or 3% are actually going to do enough math to figure out what they need to do. Everybody else is going to use it for a Kahlua pork slider. So, you know, I mean, well, something that's only $3.75 to begin with. So,
I mean, if you're there, like with me and Brent, okay, if we're there the whole week, and the thing of it is even though I'm down there all week with the Food and Wine Festival, when we do go, I don't go to Epcot every night. I mean, you feel like you should. Like last trip, I felt like I was missing out if I didn't go there. But I didn't go every night to Food and Wine. But the thing of it is if, okay, if you're going to go every night, then maybe it's worth it. Because I couldn't drink more than a couple of those drinks anyway, because I'm not a mixed drink drinker. I just go and get my Moosehead or my Harp or my Peroni, and I'm happy. I'm not going to go buy all these mixed drinks. But if you're like Carmen, you're going to be there all week, and that's what you're going to do, then, yeah, it'll probably be worth it. Because I don't even think Carmen, well, maybe I'm wrong, could drink eight of those drinks in one night. But I could be wrong. I mean, I don't want to slight you there, Carm. But anyway, Carmen, go over and see our friends Carmen and Brian at the Adventures of Peas and Carrots, and you'll see if she can or not.
It looks like sometimes they give it a good shot. So.
Oh, well, they do. But you know what I'm saying. You'd really have to, like you said, you'd have to do the mixed drinks to make it wild, worth your wild.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you're a beer guy and a freaking, you want to try a couple of different food things, there's no way it's worth anywhere near your value. You're actually going to end up losing a couple of bucks on it. So.
Well, tomorrow you're going to be there. So look at the prices, see how much they've gone up, because I really haven't paid much attention to the price. I've looked at all the entrees and the different offerings, but I really haven't like zoomed in on what the prices are of everything. So let me know of how much the prices went up on everything. But I can't imagine the hummus fries being $8.66. I really don't see that.
No, and I don't see the Kahlua pork slider.
Or the scotch egg, or you know what I'm saying?
Or the piggy wings, or any of that type of stuff at that price. If it is, might be about my last Food and Wine Festival, because I can't afford that. So.
But yeah, it's just crazy how they want to whack you over the head with that stuff.
Yep.
I mean, just let you have the tab for what it would. Give me a break. I mean, really, at $69, there's no way it's worth it. Ain't that what I said? $68, $69?
Yeah, $69 for 8 tabs. It's nope.
So. No, it's crazy. But that's all the news I have, John. Do you have anything else?
No, I don't think so. I think that was about it. And I'm going to go cry in my beer over the Gators' loss and call it a night. So.
Yeah, well, Penn State won for me, so happy for me. But you get to be happy tomorrow. You get to drive the train, buddy.
Choo-choo.
Nah, so. I know you're looking forward to that.
I get to go see the ostrich and go, "Hi, ostrich." And you'll go, "What's that?"
I don't remember you.
Nope.
So, and how's the weather supposed to be tomorrow?
We're just typical summer afternoon thunderstorm pattern. So we do have a storm heading this direction. Actually, if it shoots the right direction, it might come right up to you. So no. That one's out in middle of the Atlantic. It doesn't know where it's going right now. So
yeah, well, say a prayer to Irina, whatever heck her name is. She stays out to sea.
Yeah, why don't you just go up to Iceland or head that direction and become nothing? That'd be great.
So. Yeah, it was only 66 here today, John. So
I saw some of the football games last night. People were wearing jackets and the Penn State game. They had a heater out on the sideline already. Seriously?
Oh, really? John, it was only overnight up there. It was in the 40s last night.
Holy
So
crap.
I think you'd have your little heater on too, you little Florida sissy.
Oh God, I would be frozen. I just can't imagine. Yeah. I mean, hell, I'm 2 months away before we even hit friggin' 64 degrees. It just boggles my mind.
Yeah,
September 2nd is chilly.
Yeah, so. During that game today, it was in its 50s, I think.
Wow.
In Penn State, because that's up. Northwest of here, if you follow me. It's in the mountains, Penn State. It's in Happy Valley. But, yeah, that's up, you know, past the Poconos, all that area. It's up towards Pittsburgh, you know what I'm saying, out in that area.
Yeah. It just seems strange to me. It really does. It's so freaking hot here, and it's going to be hot for another 6 weeks. So.
Yeah, I had a couple days I went to work this week. I went out to my truck in the morning. It was 52 degrees. That's cold.
Yeah, it's weird, man. That's just weird.
Yeah, that's weird. Cold when you're used to it. It went from 90s to 52. I mean,
yeah.
It makes a big difference.
That's an abrupt change, isn't it?
Yeah, so. We're going to be 72 tomorrow, low 70s, and it's going to 87 for 2 days, and then back down to the 60s. So it's like all herky-jerky weather here. So, but anyway, that's our weekly report. I want to know where our buddy Aloha Dave has been. I haven't seen him on Twitter in a while, so I hope everything is okay with him. He's usually complaining about us talking about the weather. So when he has perfect weather in Hawaii.
I doubt if it's 52 there. So
no, it's not. He's lucky. But anyway, guys, please put your thoughts and prayers out for everybody that's going through that tragedy over down in Houston, and hope everything gets better and better day by day for everybody. And hats off to J.J. Watt. You see, he raised over $15 million.
Yeah, my wife's telling me all about that. And holy cow, man. He really stepped it up and went out of his way for an NFL player to represent the city. So, yeah.
Yeah, he
deal.
Started that GoFundMe page. And what I think everybody liked about it was they trust him because he's not in government or a politician. He's just there for the people.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, there's so many things that pop up now. Give money here, give money there. How do you know which one you really trust? Actually, that was the one my wife decided she was going to give money to, was his account. Yep. Because, like you said, I mean, it's one that you feel that you can actually trust. So.
Well, we gave money at the local Acme the other day, and they had a big thing at the cash register where we checked out because it was the first time that we seen something, so we wanted to give right away. But the first, I think Brenda got a little, like, looked at me a little weird. She didn't say anything, but she knows how I am. And I said to the cashier, I said, is this definitely going there?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Before I put money in here, I want to make sure it's going. They're not digging into any of this. All this goes to them. And it was for the Red Cross, and I wanted to make sure, you know, Acme or anybody else wasn't dipping their little chubby fingers into it, if you follow me.
Yeah, the same thing happened to me, I think, when I was at Walmart or Publix the other day, and they asked me, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to give some money, but I'm going to go home and I'm going to give it myself directly to them, because I don't know where this money's going, I give you, so.
Yeah. But I made sure before we did anything it was legit, if you follow me.
Yep.
So
yeah.
But the bottom line is, if you guys can, anything you can do to help, but give your thoughts and prayers out to everybody in the state of Texas, because we really feel bad for you. And everywhere else in this country, be kind to one another, guys. Life's too short to go through angry at everybody. Just let's all be good to each other. And if you want to find our good buddy Dennis, you can find him at Oak Manor. You can find John at Beer Solo and the Weekly Pint. Head over to our website. It's all in WDW. And check out all of Bob's tasty and wonderful photos from this year's Food and Wine Festival and his articles. He's doing a wonderful job. So you can find him at It's All in WDW. And you can find him on Twitter at It's All in WDW. And you can find me at good old Grumpy 6767, and you can find us all at WDW Main Street. Again, guys, be kind to one another, and we will talk to you soon.
Quaharini, folks. Have a good night.
Quaharini, John. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it, guys. It's last call here at the pub. We're going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and head on out of here. But before we go, let me tell you about two of our other fine sponsors. American Tourist Travel. If you need a Disney vacation booked, contact us at American Tourist Travel at americantouristtravel.com. Show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. Well, that's going to be it, guys. We'll talk to you real soon. Have a very safe Happy week. Bye-bye.